Thank you very much. I would like to pick up where Gordon has left us, resilience in a globalized world. And I would like to go a little bit beyond disasters, and in particular beyond single disasters. Question is, we do not really know where the next shock will be from, but we got quite a number of candidates. And we have seen shocks in different areas in the past, and we have seen that in a globalized world, these things are intertwined to a good extent. It is not anymore as if we could just take a look at one particular sector of our lives or of policy making and then try to make it all bulletproof and pretend that it would not spill over. As a matter of fact, these things are all connected, and they're getting more and more connected over a modern society. So let me quickly show you an example how we are living in a very competitive world. And this is now all about risk. The main idea is typically to just get, in a competitive world, the profit margin right. And there is a valuable business approach to just do that in a harsh competitive environment. And we have an area, let's say aviation, which I've just chosen by chance, which everybody thinks safety first is a very straightforward idea. I do not know if anybody recalls, but we had an onboard engineer decades ago, but technology became so good that we just needed a pilot and a co-pilot, and that would do very well. So far, so good, and probably we did not really increase the risk there a lot. But in other areas, we have had press releases about airline companies where the pilots had to really land on the last drop of fuel because the fuel calculations by the company were asked to be minimized for economic reasons. And then we had the idea of sleeping pilots and co-pilots all together during transatlantic flights, also in the press last year, because the duty hours obviously were a little bit out of schedule, not too long actually, but too tied to each other. So we got autopilot, so I would not claim here that aviation is not safe. I've been flying here today. But in principle, we can see that we are squeezing out the pennies, and it is getting really, really complicated if we get the last penny out and then we save on the maintenance and then something will happen. This is just an example. But we can do like this, and we are doing like that in also many areas. And the only backstop that we have is regulations. I've been working for industry for more than 18 years, and I can tell you, in a fierce competition, you need to do the best possible within the legal boundaries to just get the rivals out of the field. And that is a valuable approach because it's providing profit, and it's providing growth, and it's providing jobs. But the backstop is where the legal limits are. And if the legal limits are undefined, then there is no backstop. So let's take a look at the power grid. Deregulated, we can scrap redundancy because a redundant power line that is not really used very often or not needed at all could also be taken down. And then we have winter events like once in a lifetime or once in a decade or after climate change once in 5 years that take down the remaining lines, but we have saved some money. We have seen financial markets where we are chasing the nanoseconds with co-located servers of stock exchanges and banks and standardized lengths of fiber optic cables between the servers, not to give anybody an unfair advantage of the signals of trading arriving a little bit earlier at light speed. So also there are some risks. And then we got automated algorithms who are doing the high-speed trading because a human cannot do that anymore. And they're acting in milliseconds. And then all of a sudden, they're looking all at each other. And we have a flash crash, as we have seen twice already in the years 2012 and 2010. Destroying billions. That was blackened out here. We got resource exploitation also, where the blowout prevention obviously was something that should work but hasn't, and single points of failure are always something that brings us to drilling in risky areas and then leaving a damage behind of billions. And we had risky bets on borrowed funds. And here I put a higher risk with a big bomb, which we have seen the financial crisis. So actually, if I take money that I do not have and I make big bets on highly risky issues and then I fail, I will leave behind the risk for society. And this is where the responsibility of the entrepreneur ends, and the responsibility of the regulator to a certain extent should have been there before or starts. So the idea is not leaving the risk for others. And then we will have a situation like this, where all of a sudden, and this is what Gordon also said, equity or fairness becomes a real issue. Because if you're looking at growth, and the only growth parameter that we have is GDP, and GDP is calculated on average in the society, and is making few people super rich and leaving the risk behind for public finances, the next generation, the planet, or society, then this is a point where regulation has to step in. And the question is how to do that, and that is then the point where science is stepping in. The big picture, therefore, is really highly complex, and it is not as if a financial crisis all alone would perhaps impact a bank. But if then Lehman Brothers fails, all of a sudden the whole banking sector is impacted. And if there is a financial global crisis coming from the United States to Europe, then it turns out to become a political crisis where governments are overthrown in many European member states. Greece, Italy, France, Ireland, Portugal, Spain, I mean, you name it. If there is a government overthrown, we have seen that, or if there's an unclear position, for instance, in Ukraine, all of a sudden we have a geopolitical issue, or in the Arab Spring. If you have a geopolitical issue, it turns out to become an energy issue on the gas supply. So, I mean, these things are connected. There is some research on how they are connected, so at least the World Economic Forum Global Risk Report is just catching it like this, in different categories of risks. But this is just a visualization. For me, it's a bit complex to understand, but for really a scientific approach, it could be a bit better. Nevertheless, for me, it looks like that. And the different ideas is there is no brick that would not fall if one of them falls. I mean, you can see the one to the left probably still smiling. If I want to understand this, I need a bit of scientific modeling, and this has been done, and the future has not been worked out very nicely. There was at one NASA-funded study 1.5 years ago that caught quite a lot of attention, and it was modeling a society of elites and common people, and it turned out that the whole societal model went down the drain regardless, whatever kind of modeling was applied. I mean, it's just a model. It turned out that the elites can survive longer, but an unfair and unbalanced society will not make it all together, and we're all in. So, finally, the resources are limited, and thank you very much, Gordon, for pointing out the planetary limits, which I also got on my list here. And in a limited world, we have started off quite some time ago with low consumption and little growth. And we have made our way into a modern industrialized society, and now we might be at a turning point where we need to decide where to go. And we might have pressed the planetary boundaries already that much that we cannot continue and assume unlimited growth forever. So there are statistics, there are scientific research again on this, so we could go either here or we could go there. And the question is, we can have growth, but it should be, as was on the slides, sustainable growth with sustainable consumption and production. And we really need to rethink if the current pathway is still valid. Just for further reading, a report that I got on the slides here from a big insurance company, also looking into these things. So science is essential to understand the interconnected world, to identify where a risk is really becoming systemic or where we could leave it under local responsibility. Let's take a look at the financial markets, which have been in the headlines so much in the past. And according to a Nature article from 2012, alone the connections in the financial markets look like this. So now think, this is only one dot in the diagram of the World Economic Forum. Then we could define scientifically what it is worthwhile to measure and how to do this. we can and must model complex effects because human brains cannot capture all this anymore. We can do automatic monitoring, sustainable development goals, assess risks that go across sectors, and highlight future risk. Finally, suggesting critical limits where we really need to have backstops over regulation. So science is essential to get this modern distribution of risk under control before it ends up in places that we do not want to see it in. Policymaking can keep it from getting there, but then you need to have the complex system understood, and this is where the scientific advice kicks in. Final target, of course, would not to make it a mess, but would be to make it a sustainable Earth. Thank you very much.